Where was Jesus speaking? Jesus was speaking from God's mountain, where it took one man, the man Christ Jesus, who, as he was speaking, would future ascend to be seated at the right hand of the Father, which is in heaven. And this same man from this high mountain would come back down out of heaven and stand in this very place, accompanied by the armies of God, bringing life forever to all people, because he's the God of love and the God of grace. Somebody in the house of God say amen. Let's give God a hand today.
That voice was Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and we'll be featuring his Bible preaching on the magnificent dead. We're continuing in this series all week long, and that hurdle in his upbringing, kind of like a hitch in your giddy-up, you'll understand more in just a few moments as Dr. Don continues this study in the book of Hebrews. And as we open God's encouraging word together, please know we're here to encourage you as well. We'd love to connect with you on our website at theencouragingword.org or on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We're here for you 24 hours a day. Now let's open God's encouraging word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Remember many years ago, I preached a revival in a place called Loosedale, Mississippi. Have you don't know where Loosedale, Mississippi is? Nobody knows where it is. But I preached many revivals there. The pastor's name was Brother Johnny Walker, still a very good friend of mine, who today pastors a church in Winona, Mississippi, First Baptist Church. And that was those days when revivals were from Sunday morning through to Friday night. Remember them? Some of you remember those that went on for 2 and 3 weeks. Well, I was in the time when it was Sunday morning through Friday night. Remember Steve and Sal, how we used to go nonstop, and they would have 6 a.m. prayer breakfasts. It's about kill me, folks. That's where I first took a liking to ice cream. It was the only way I could wake up. Well, here we went to do this revival, and it was an incredible time. In fact, I did 4 or 5 revivals in that wonderful church there. On Saturday, we jumped into the motor car to drive back to New Orleans, and the man who led the music, the worship leader, wonderful fellow, much younger than me, we went off driving back, and he turned to me in the motor car, and he said, Brother Don, he said, that was just absolutely wonderful. He said, you know something? He said, man, I would love to be your worship leader on all the revivals and crusades you do. And man, look at the time we had and all these people. And he said, man, would you just put, could we become a kind of a team, you know? And I looked over at him. I can still see it right now. I looked over him near Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I said to him, absolutely not. Never. He said to me, his face dropped. He said, why? I said, because you chew ice with your mouth open. Now, folks, we would go into people's homes every night after the revival service. People would prepare all kinds of meals for us. Those ladies would put a banquet out for us, and we'd go into their home. This man would never drink anything. He would drink whatever was in that cup. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like that. And then he would go. And here's the sweet lady, and she would say, and so, brother, what did you do today? I said, hey, excuse me. Nobody is ever going to come around the country with me who chews ice like that. Some of you are looking awfully red right now. I said, I can't go around the country with somebody who's got no table manners. And I'm certain he was picky, didn't like this, didn't want that, couldn't stand this, didn't like that. I said, look, you're not going to be in the ministry and be picky, buddy. Whatever's put in front of you, you eat. You understand? You know what he said to me? He said, but man, I was brought up like that. Folks, we're just talking about chewing ice. But do you know that there are some hurdles related to our upbringing that will destroy us? I've heard people say, well, wait a minute, my whole family, we would never go to an evangelical church. Oh, no, but you've got to understand, my family, this is the way we were brought up. If my daddy knew that I was joining this church, he'd be so mad. I want to tell you something. My upbringing, when I grew up in my home, my daddy made it very clear, you don't get carried away about religion. You do everything in moderation. I want to tell you, the way I was brought up, you didn't get carried away about Jesus Christ. I want you to know it's my upbringing. Number three, there was the hurdle of his faith. There was the hurdle of his faith right throughout this passage. In fact, right throughout the letter to the Hebrews, but particularly in chapter 11, we see this word faith repeated over and over again. By faith, Moses. By faith, he regarded disgrace. By faith, he left Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, the people passed over the Red Sea. The list goes on and on ad infinitum. I'm going to submit to you that a great, great, almost insurmountable hurdle for Moses must have been the matter of his faith, because Moses didn't have the benefit of a worship service like this. I've tried to find it in the history books. There are no First Baptist churches of Egypt. Do you know what the country of France did recently? They just put the seal on their atheism. They outlawed the use of Muslim attire, Jewish caps, Christian crucifixes. They made a statement, we are a pagan, atheistic country. We don't want religion to be a part of us. It was no different in the land of Egypt, excepting for the paganism that was permitted through the worship of the sun god who was Pharaoh himself. Many of us have seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ. I'm trying to figure out what I think about it. I certainly didn't enjoy it. I was deeply moved at my very being, but there is a part of that movie about the whole thing, the presentation, that I don't like. Can I tell you what it is? I struggle when it comes to a human depiction of my Savior. And when we sang that beautiful hymn a moment ago, Steve, about the cross, about our Lord and Savior going to the cross alone and suffering, let me tell you what happens to me now. I immediately get a picture of that incredible actor who, quote unquote, played Christ so brilliantly. I get a picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she stood there and acted so brilliantly. I get a picture of this man walking down the Via Dolorosa, and there is a sense in which, in my heart, I wish that I didn't have to deal with that, because every time I see a human depiction, somehow it is taking away from my act of faith. The Bible says that I believe that Jesus Christ did these things by faith. I don't know that we would ever know the answer to this, but I've often wondered why God didn't wait another 2,000 years to send Jesus to the cross. What's 2,000 years for God? It's nothing. I've got a good reason. Maybe Jesus could have been crucified the year 2001. Why 2K? Wouldn't that have fit somehow? And it would have been real good, because CNN would have been there, BBC, German television. Every newspaper, even People magazine, might have put a picture of Jesus being crucified on the cross on their cover. Newsstands could have been filled up with it. We could have entered into a great time of revival in this country, because we would have seen it. Why was it that God waited and did not wait until the onset of movies and video cameras before Jesus Christ was executed? I don't know, but I do know this, that I am called upon to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross by faith. By faith. I think Moses had to overcome the hurdle of his faith, don't you? Number four, there was the hurdle of his popularity. Folks, don't kid yourselves. Historians tell us
that this grandson of the mighty Pharaoh was the most popular of all of those that ruled. Moses, in all likelihood, was the kind of prince who would have got into his chariot, driven down the streets of impoverished Israel, and stopped to give somebody a glass of water. He was the man who would put his hand on their shoulder and comfort them. He was the people's representative. They loved him. He had an accommodating, compassionate spirit, unlike his brother, who was to become Pharaoh, who was as ruthless as the grandfather was. Moses was popular, but God said to him, "You've got to choose between popularity and what I'm calling you to do." It's no different to the choice that our children and our college students have to make today. Young people, I'm so proud of you, but I want to tell you that it costs to choose Jesus Christ. The key word today is popularity. I want to be part of the popular crowd. You'll hear that everywhere you go. When you choose to follow Jesus Christ, sometimes you have to sacrifice popularity. That means that when you go to lunch at school and in the school halls, you'll walk in there with your tray and the popular group will be sitting there. And when you walk over to them, all of a sudden they don't have a seat for you or they'll shift over to shut you out. Being popular means that you're willing to sell your body in order to get an invitation from the boys to go to the local dance. Being popular means that you're not willing to stand in the playground, sometimes in isolation, by yourself, while a group stands over there and laughs about you. And when you come into the group, they turn around and give cutting remarks like, "Well, look who's here." They'll talk about the way you dress and the way you talk and the way you eat. They'll make fun of you. Being popular, my friend, means that you are wanting to find the approval of mankind. But God says, "Choose me." And sometimes when you say yes to Him, you find yourself in that college campus by yourself. Nobody invites you to go. Nobody wants to be around you. It's hard. I say a word to the young ladies in this congregation. I don't pick on you, but I think sometimes it is easier. Not easy, but it's easier to be a man in this regard. But I'm telling you, I've watched some of our young ladies who have stood up for Jesus Christ, and you've had to count the cost of rejecting the popular highway of life. I've watched some of our young ladies go right throughout our youth group and hardly anybody invites them out on a date. When we go on spring break, some of them have to sit there by themselves because they're not in the popular group. You can look at the popular group. They're always hanging around. They're part of the crowd. They're accepted. They're getting the invites. They're on the inside. But it's altogether something else to stand up and to be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world, my beloved friend, to say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I tell you, young people, I'm one of the beneficiaries of that, because when I saw my bride come down the aisle so many years ago, that little girl that walked down the aisle was as pure as the noonday sun. And I tell you, I've gone through my married life knowing that my little girl, my wife, has not been handed around and shared with everybody else in the neighborhood. And I want to tell you something, my beloved friends. If it means that I take a stand for Jesus Christ and you won't talk to me, bring it on. If it means that I have to stand in a corner by myself because I want to stand for Jesus Christ, bring it on. Because I'm willing to stand up for Jesus Christ, bring it on. Bring it on. Moses had to overcome the hurdle of his popularity, of his popularity. What can I promise you when you take a stand for Jesus Christ? I cannot promise you a single thing. But I do know this because I have the value of hindsight, that even though Moses lost his seat of popularity among the people of Egypt, God raised him up. Set him on a pedestal. Hundreds of thousands of people looked up at him and they cried out, "Moses is our leader. He was garrisoned about by aides of every kind who upheld his arms in the midst of battle. He was the one who fed the people. He was the one who made the decisions. He was the one they wanted to hang around with. And he is the one who, even today, many years after his death, is the one that we still learn about, the one that we still value, the one we call magnificent. What a Savior.
Thank you so much. Dr. Don Wilton is who you're listening to, and we'll be back with so much more of this message on the magnificent dead in just a few moments. But is there a hurdle that you're facing, a hurdle you need someone to pray you over? We would be thrilled to be a part of your prayer support team. You can connect with us on our website at theencouragingword.org or give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but anytime, day or night. We'd be thrilled to pray with you, for you, connect you with great resources. Right now, everyone's asking about the promises of praying for others. It's a powerful tool to empower your prayer time, and it's available on our website, theencouragingword.org, or by calling 866-899-9683. We'd love to connect with you. Now let's dive back in today's message, The Magnificent Dead, with Dr. Don Wilton.
What a Savior. Some of you college students going off to college, some of you seniors sitting here. You're about to go onto the college campuses and the whole issue is going to be the matter of popularity. Well, I better join this group because if I don't, I'm not going to be popular. And young people, I say to you with all the love in my heart, even some of your parents are going to push you into the popularity group because your parents want to be popular. But is there somebody in this place who will stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll stand up. I'll count the cost. I'll pick up the cross. I'll walk down that highway. I'm willing to be crucified with my Savior. I'm willing to count for Jesus Christ. Is there somebody at First Baptist Church Spartanburg who's willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ? It's not necessarily popular. And number five, there was the hurdle of his pleasure. There was the hurdle of his pleasure. Friend, listen carefully. The Bible says that he chose in verse 25 to be mistreated along with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. To overcome personal difficulty, Moses had to face the issue, the hurdle of his personal pleasure. I know of a man, or knew of a man, from Georgia, multi-millionaire, 36 years of age. I met him, saw him only one time. I didn't know him on a personal level, but I met him one time. Tall man. Handsome, his wife, a beautiful, beautiful lady. I met them one time at a Southern Baptist convention meeting. You're talking about the salt of the earth. You're talking about a couple who are so involved in the local church, in their Baptist church. They were on the front row of faithfulness. And this man made frequent trips to Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Tokyo, London, Beijing, went everywhere. One time he found himself in New York City on the 25th floor of a skyscraper. They were doing their usual thing that night. They had a cocktail party for all the business associates. High picking. They were all there. And while they were having this cocktail party at 9, 10 o'clock at night at the end of another long day of business, playing with the stock market and making money in sales, there was a lady in that group that began to flirt with this man, as they always did together, all of these men and women, many of them. And on this particular occasion, this man, 36 years of age, with a beautiful wife at home and three little children about that big, said, you know, who's going to know? Come on, who's going to know? If I have a little fun with this woman, who's going to know? My wife will never find out. Nobody's going to say anything. It's dark up here in this room. By the way, have you noticed in most of those kinds of occasions, the rooms are always darkened because sin loves to operate in the dark. Who's going to know? Well, he convinced himself nobody was going to know. And so he got this lady and they stepped into a little side room. And for 10 minutes, they enjoyed the pleasure of sin for a short while. They came out of that room, went about their business. Nobody knew any different. Music was playing, people were drinking, everybody was having fun, and besides that, others were doing the same thing. No pain, didn't matter. Wife wouldn't know about it, and so he got on his plane the next morning, flew back to Georgia. She didn't know anything, just the best-kept secret in town. Till about a year or so later, he suddenly started to feel sick. Couldn't explain it, began to lose weight, began to break out in little sores. Went to the doctor. When he came out of the doctor's room, the doctor sat him down and said to him, "Man, I know you, I know your reputation, but I got some news for you. You've got AIDS." He said, "You got to be kidding me, man." He said, "No, I know." He said, "Listen, man, did you have a blood transfusion or did you something, you know?" And of course, this man had to confess to the doctor and say, "Well, I tell you, I don't know if there's any truth, but this is what happened in New York City in this boardroom many months ago." And he said, "Well, man, we better get your wife in here." Now, can you imagine calling your wife in? This was a bride who came to the marriage bed pure and undefiled. Beautiful lady. And I was told in that meeting there she cried for an hour. But because she loved the Lord so much and loved her husband, she forgave him. She did what she believed God would have her to do. And she forgave him totally, no questions, no strings. She just forgave him for what he had done. But that wasn't the end of the story, because about a year later, his wife suddenly started to get sick. Went to the doctor, discovered that she now had AIDS. Within 3 years, both of those people died. And you can go right now to a town in Georgia and visit three little children who now, 3 or 4 years later, have grown up without a mommy and a daddy. And the Bible says there was the hurdle of his pleasure. He chose the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. I'd like to ask you a question today. If I was to hand around a blank sheet of paper, I know all of us would put our ice creams and our ice chewing and all the other things. But what is it that is stopping you from coming to know Jesus Christ? And if you do know the Lord Jesus, what's holding you back like this? What handcuffs have you got on? Now, folks, listen, and I'll close with this. There are many of us here today who would sit and say, "Well, look, that's it, man. I've messed up." Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If there is a single person here today that is guiltless, I'd like to meet you. God's forgiveness is absolute. That's what I love about being a Christian. I know that I'm forgiven, and I know that when I sin and I confess that sin to Him, that He forgives me for that. There are some that bear awful consequences, folk, of sin. I hope that that's not you. But what do you need to do about it? What are you willing to do for the Lord Jesus Christ? How much is too much? Where would you draw the line and say, "Well, great sermon, preacher, but, you know, I love you so much. I wish I could go around this great congregation today and You could do the same thing for me. We'd do it for each other. And just say, look, isn't it worth just turning it over to the Lord? It's worth it, man. Do it. Be obedient to Him. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. Maybe, and most importantly, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but God's spoken to you today. Never forget a man in my dad's church many years ago who sat there for 7 years. 7 years. And one day just suddenly stood up out the blue, gave his wife a heart attack and the rest of his family. Walked down that aisle and he said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. That man became a powerhouse for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you love the Lord. You do. I know so many, by far the majority. I know that. But there is something God has spoken to you today. There's just that thing there. Holding you back. You willing to just let it go? Do it.
And the opportunity is yours now. You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton. He's got more to come. Don't go away. He's got a closing thought in just a moment, but you need to know we're here for you to pray you through that opportunity. We're connecting both online at theencouragingword.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. You know, when Doc was talking about just doing it, about being obedient to Him, if the Lord has stirred your heart, don't let this day pass without drawing a line in the sand, letting us pray with you and for you. 866-899-9673. And before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
You know, these are such special times together. I'm so grateful, my friends, that we can worship together like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry, and you're such a vital part of all that God's doing, and I just love you, and I want you to know that. You know, this ministry goes on 24 hours round the clock all the time. We want to be involved in your life, and we want to continue to pray for you. You can call us at any time. You can partner with us all the time through prayer and through your giving. We know that you are 100% engaged as we are in sharing God's truth with our searching world. That's what this is all about. We need Jesus, don't we? And God is doing a great work. And I love you today. Thank God for you. Pray for you. God bless you.
Our time's gone for today, but thank you so much for spending this time with us. And thank you so many of you have become encouragers, both prayer encouragers and financial encouragers, supporter of the ministry of the Encouraging Word. If you'd like to have more information, we have a wonderful brochure, as Dr. Don would say, a brochure to put in the mail to you. Give us a call and say, give me more information about becoming an encourager. We'll send it out to you, or you can find it online at theencouragingword.org. Again, thank you for your prayerful support. We're here because of you. Join us again tomorrow for the next edition of The Encouraging Word.